Well, good morning. My name is Tom Dubois. I'm the pastor at Western Mountains Baptist Church, located in the little town of New Portland. This morning, we continue our Sunday morning sermon series in the Gospel of Mark. Before we go there, I just wanted to let folks know that starting June 7, next week, we will be conducting services in what we're calling in-service or in-person services, again, the regathering of the church, if you will, at our facility on Route 27, Carabasset Road in New Portland. We're going to do that with a 50-person limit. We are going to do that in two services, one that begins at 9 o'clock in the morning and a second one that begins at 10:30. Our services will be a little bit shorter than normal. We will not be taking up a formal offering, but instead have boxes at each of the exits so that people can give us their tithes and offerings in that manner versus passing a plate. We will shorten our song service a little bit, and yes, I'll be shortening the sermon just a little bit as well, only because we will also be having children in the service. We will not be offering the nursery or junior church to the kids at this time for the inability to keep socially distant in those two locations, both the nursery and the junior church. So that's the plan moving forward. Please feel free to go to our website. There's a letter that will explain all of that in detail. Many of you received that letter in the mail already. We will also post something on our Facebook pages as well. On to our sermon. See, I think I might have a bit of a problem. Both last week's sermon title and this week's title seem to revolve around food. I think the story is this. I think I'm really missing our phenomenal potluck lunches that we typically have here at Western Mountains Baptist Church. A lot of good food there. Our sermon title today is this, Feast or Crumbs? Now, if I asked you the question, feast or crumbs, most of us, probably even all of us, would quickly say feast. And why not, right? Like I said last week, God gave us taste buds. And by the way, God gave us eyes to see. God gave us a nose to smell. God gave us the sense of touch. All these senses can be fired up with a true feast. But we're going to see something truly special today. We are going to see that even the crumbs from God's table is enough to satisfy. Even the crumbs. Now, maybe for you and me, the problem is not what God is giving us. The problem is that maybe we somehow believe we deserve more. Maybe we believe we deserve the feast and we are only experiencing the crumbs. Well, we're going to see one woman and her daughter that were very happy to receive the crumbs from God's table. And in true godly fashion, He supplies, even in crumbs, He supplies in great abundance. We continue to work through the Gospel of Mark, and today we are in the 7th chapter of that Gospel, and we will begin this morning by looking at verses 24 and 25. So that's Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. And they read like this. Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre. And when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it. Yet he could not escape notice. But after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. Well, these first two verses require some background in order for us to get the whole picture of the scene that's unfolding before our eyes here. And if you look back over the last few weeks in our study of the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus and his disciples trying to find a place and a time to get away for some quiet contemplation, a time of rest, a time away from the crowds, if you will. And this is how things start once again this morning. Mark tells us that Jesus got up and went away. Now, it's believed that when this was all happening, Jesus was in Capernaum. and when he got up. And then Mark tells us where he goes. He goes to the region of Tyre, about 40 miles northwest of Capernaum. Jesus, you see, has become so popular, so in demand, that he journeys 40 miles away. Now, it's also important to note that Tyre was a major seaport in the city of Phoenicia, which is a Gentile city, a pagan city. Jesus is clearly not here to minister to the Jews. In fact, some people believe Jesus was actually distancing himself from the Pharisees and the scribes for a time, given their recent attacks on Jesus. The fact is this: Jesus is not here to minister to the throngs, but to rest, to work with his boys, to work with his disciples. In fact, Mark strongly hints at this when he tells us about Jesus entering a house and wanting nobody to know where he was. Jesus was looking for some separation from the masses. He needed rest, just like we all need rest. But Mark goes on to tell us that even with some precautions in place, Jesus could not escape notice. Now, what that tells us is important. See, it tells us that the reputation of Jesus did not know geopolitical boundaries, nor did it know physical boundaries, nor did it know religious boundaries. And I want to dwell on this truth for just a bit, because I think we need to have a similar understanding of Jesus. If Jesus, according to the scriptures, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the scriptures actually say that he is, then do you suppose Jesus still overcomes all these same boundaries? Do you suppose that Jesus can cross religious boundaries? Do you suppose Jesus can cross political boundaries? Do you suppose Jesus can cross physical boundaries? Well, let me help us all with the answer. The answer is yes, emphatically yes. I have seen it. I have witnessed it. And whether you realize it or not, you probably have too. See, I have seen clearly, Jesus clearly speak to people who were not yet professing Christians. Maybe they were pagans, maybe they were Muslims, maybe they were Jewish. But I've seen Jesus speak to people who were not yet professing Christians. That's crossing a political boundary. A religious boundary. I have seen Jesus speak to people and transform the hearts of people on both sides of the political aisle. Yes, my friends, there are Christian Democrats. In fact, I believe there are many Christian Democrats. It is believed that the Christian church is growing faster than anywhere else on earth in China. Well, what is China? China is a communist country. Jesus crosses political boundaries. And I have seen Jesus clearly speak to people through me, frankly, in places other than Franklin and Somerset counties, especially in these last 2 months. I've had relatives in Florida and friends in Alabama that tune into these messages every week. But even before the pandemic, Western Mountains Baptist Church was mailing messages on CD all over the country. Jesus crosses physical boundaries. Mark writes it this, right? He said, Jesus cannot escape notice. Now, it's our job to help Jesus become even more noticeable. And we do this by demonstrating his grace and demonstrating his mercy, demonstrating his love, demonstrating his compassion to a lost and dying world. We do this by sharing our own testimony. How has Jesus transformed my heart? How has Jesus transformed my life? Share that with someone. Share it with someone. Mark then begins to recount this event that took place here in Tyre. A woman whose little daughter was demon-possessed came to Jesus and fell at his feet. Now, we've seen this before, right? Is this really so unusual? Why is Mark, the gospel writer, singling out this one encounter over all the other encounters Jesus had with folks looking for healing or looking for the casting out of demons? Well, the reason becomes clear as we move into verse 26, which reads like this. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Well, Mark here tells us some important background information about this woman. She is a Gentile. See, she does not believe the same things that Jesus and his Jewish disciples believe. She has not experienced the culture of the Jewish people. And Mark also reveals that she is a local. We like to say that in Maine. Are you a local or are you from away? Well, she was a local of the Syrophoenician race. Jesus is in the port of Tyre, but there is another port in Phoenicia, the port of Sidon, where this woman is likely from. And Mark is telling us that she has not followed Jesus here, but that his reputation, see, has preceded him to this place. Then Mark tells us something that I believe should be a lesson to all of us as it relates to our prayer life. Mark tells us she kept asking Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. See, she did not just ask him once. Mark is clear here. She kept asking him. She believed the stories she had heard. She believed in the miracles that Jesus had performed. She needed a miracle for her daughter. So she kept asking Jesus. Friends, do we believe what we have read in the Bible and the Scriptures? Do we believe that Jesus is able to hear our prayers and to respond? Then let's keep on asking. Now, let us here remember why Jesus is in Tyre to begin with. He is there to rest. He is there to commune with his disciples. He is there to seclude himself from the people. But this woman has found him, and she has fallen at the feet of Jesus in humble submission, and she has begged him to help her daughter. Well, Mark does not say it directly, but he certainly implies that Jesus is not exactly welcoming this woman with open arms. And in fact, we will see in a moment, it seems that Jesus was not appreciating the distraction that this woman was creating. Look with me at verse 27. And he, that is Jesus, was saying to her, "Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now, there's been significant debate over this passage, but I think we can boil things down quite simply. We can see Jesus in other passages of Scripture making things clearly evident that his target audience was the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. Here, in this passage, the children Jesus is describing are, I believe, his own disciples. Now, some believe it's the entire Jewish nation, and maybe it is, but the premise, my friends, the premise is the same. Jesus is concentrating on them and not on the Gentiles, the pagans. What Jesus was serving up in his teaching and preaching was meant for his children. This woman was interrupting the feeding of the children of Jesus and asking for his attention instead. And I hope we notice this. Mark tells us that Jesus was saying to her, not Jesus said to her. Can we see the difference there? Mark is describing for us this back and forth with the woman. Remember now, she kept asking, and apparently Jesus kept responding. And his response is interesting. Jesus tells her his children must be satisfied first. His disciples needed to hear and understand first before his word could be given to the Gentiles. It was not yet time to feed the Gentile nation. That comes later through the Apostle Paul and then others as well. Now, before you think that Jesus was mean-spirited or maybe even a racist against the Gentiles with this comment, the dogs that he is describing are not wild animals, but are house pets and not the roaming street dogs of the day. See, we know this because of how the woman responds, which we'll see in a bit. But first, I want us to understand why the order here is so important. We know from so many verses in the Bible that in the end, Jesus would be available to all nations. But first, Jesus needed to be available to the Jewish nation, his chosen people, and then rejected by many of them and hung on a cross by some of them. See, without his crucifixion, the scriptures would not have been fulfilled, and his blood covering the sins of all men would not have happened. The order is important, for it follows the prophecies of Scripture. See, this is not an issue of worthiness or unworthiness on the part of the woman. It was more in keeping with the order of things, the Jews first and then the Gentiles. Look with me now at the response of the woman. She is quick on her feet. And it's found in verse 28. But she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs." Now, many of us have dogs or have had dogs, and we know her statement to be very true. Typically, there are no crumbs on the floor after a meal because the dog has cleaned them all up. We should probably name our dogs Hoover instead of Finnegan or whatever your dog's name is. But beyond the carrying of the analogy, I hope we see how she presents her case to Jesus. Notice she begins by showing him deference. We have already seen that she fell at his feet, and now we see her address Jesus with the title of Lord. She is letting him know that the decision to intervene or not is still his and his alone. And then she adds the word, but. "Yes, Lord, your children should be fed, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs." See, when the crumbs fall from the table, the dog does not wait until mealtime is over. He is there and he's waiting, sometimes patiently, sometimes not, depending on how much food we feed them from the table, right? Her point is that there is no real need to wait until his disciples have been fed or taught. Jesus, she acknowledges, is able to take care of both situations in the here and now. And she's not wrong, right? She's not wrong. And Jesus is more than able. See, this statement she makes, it's a faith-based statement. She is demonstrating her faith in Jesus by telling him through this analogy that he is able to do both things, to teach his disciples and heal her daughter. And I don't know about you, but I love the response of Jesus to her persistence and to her demonstration of faith. Look with me at verses 29 to 30 to see how this goes. "And he," that is Jesus, "said to her, 'Because of this answer, go. the demon has gone out of your daughter. And going back to her home, she found the child lying on the bed, the demon having left. In previous situations like this one, Jesus was more specific, telling the receiver of his power something like, "Your faith has made you well." Here, Jesus wraps this together with his statement to the woman, because of this answer, "Go, for the demon has gone out of your daughter." See, her statement shows Jesus her faith, and through this faith, Jesus has healed her daughter. I think two major things play a role in this encounter. The woman demonstrated a strong faith, and the woman demonstrated a strong perseverance. She kept at Jesus. She kept asking. She kept debating. She kept pressing forward. I sometimes worry for myself and I worry for others that we kind of lack both this woman's level of faith and, more importantly, we lack the level of this woman's perseverance. See, we know, at least in our minds, we know of the greatness of God and his great love for us demonstrated to us by his son dying in our place. We know that. And we know God is able to do all things, for with God all things are possible. But this woman had determined, not just in her mind, but also in her heart, that these truths are real and applicable to her in her life. And she put that understanding into action. Friends, we can do the same. We can pray without ceasing. We can persevere in our prayer life. We can petition God and ask again tomorrow for what we asked today. God is not offended by this. In fact, we can see today in this passage of Scripture that God rewarded this woman's perseverance and persistence. And lastly, I hope we can think about this. The woman was ready to be satisfied with the so-called crumbs from the table. She was not asking to dine at the banquet, but was willing to be satisfied with the scraps, the crumbs. And the beautiful thing is that God seems to always bless more abundantly than we could ever hope for. And in this case, Jesus did just that. Without ever seeing the daughter, without ever touching the daughter, Jesus casts out the demon and restores this girl to her mother. "I will take that crumb." I am typically a cup half full kind of guy, which means I'm typically an optimist, finding the good in most things. But frankly, there are times when I find myself in the opposite camp. I can even find myself wondering at times why life seems so hard. But then I read a passage like this one, and I realize that I have been blessed beyond measure. My daughter is not demon-possessed. I'm not having to beg God regularly for her very life and hoping for scraps from his table. No, see, Jesus Christ invited me to his banquet. He offered me a seat at the table. He adopted me into his family. And friends, I believe Jesus is offering you a place at the table as well. Psalm 34, verse 8 says this, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Let me ask you, in whom are you taking refuge? Is it in your banker or your stockbroker? Is it in your employer? Frankly, is it in your own abilities? Is it in some kind of substance? drugs, alcohol, food. None of these things are faithful and true and trustworthy. And most of us have seen them all fail at one time or another. Maybe in our own lives, maybe in the lives of someone we know. But the psalmist reminds us of the one who is faithful and true. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Take refuge in Him and experience the blessing of being called a son or daughter of the Lord Most High. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are grateful. We are grateful for the many blessings that we receive from You. We're grateful for either the full meal or the crumbs, Lord, whatever comes from Your table that we are able to receive. Lord, we are grateful for that. And Lord, we know that if our eyes are wide open to those blessings to be received, Lord, we'll see them, we'll understand them, and we'll be able to be thankful for them. Lord, I thank You for the example of this woman, a Gentile woman outside of the faith, who saw Jesus, saw something beautiful, saw something powerful, saw something good, and wanted that. Wanted that for herself, wanted that for her daughter. Lord, may we understand what it means to demonstrate Your grace and mercy and love to a world that, once they see You, would want You. Lord, may we understand our job to be Your hands and feet. And Father, I pray for any that have not figured this out yet, have not seen and tasted and seen that You are good. I pray today is the day. I pray in this example out of the scriptures that You've given us today, that You would move in the hearts of those that don't yet know You as Lord and Savior. That You would transform their heart into a heart that loves You instead of loving their sin. That You would transform their hearts to the place where they would want to confess those sins, repent from those sins, run in the opposite direction of those sins, from away from those sins and into Your loving arms. Lord, You are in the transforming business, and I pray that You would work in those lives. Work in our lives. Work in everyone's lives, Lord, to make us more into the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray these things in the precious name of Your Son. Amen. Well, I look forward to the opportunity to see you on June 7th. And let me just say, if you are unable or unwilling yet to be part of that process, please reach out to me and let me know that as well, so that we can minister to you even if you're not here in the building. I love you all, and hope all is well in your world. Thank you.